his grandma in the choir. Came all the way over here, didn't care about the food, didn't care about the story, didn't care about the kids, it's all grandma. Wow. Let's read the scripture today. Psalm 78, 52 to 54. But he brought his people out like a flock, and he led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely, so they were unafraid. But the sea engulfed their enemies. And so he brought them to the border of his holy land, to the hill country his right hand had taken. I want you to notice the words, he brought them to the border. He brought them to the border, and he brought them to the border of his holy land. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to talk about borderline Christianity today. None of us know anything about that, do we? I had the feeling that the majority of the church in different parts of the world only know what it's like to have borderline Christianity. But they have not totally sold out to Jesus Christ, sold out to the gospel, sold out their whole soul, spirit, and being. You know, the scripture tells us we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's not borderline Christianity. If you have your Bible and you don't mind underlining things, underline those words. He brought them to the border. He brought them to the border. You see, God never forces us to do anything. He's given us what's called free will. Otherwise, we'd be machines, we'd be robots. Robots. He's given us free will. He's not forcing us to go to heaven. He gives us that choice. He's not forcing us to go to hell. He's given us that choice. He's not forcing us to even serve him. We can do whatever we want, serve ourselves. He doesn't force us to serve him. He's not forcing us to be holy and pure. That's up to us. That's our free will. He's not forcing us to obey him or even his word. We can do whatever we want. He's not forcing us to do his will for our life, which would be the right thing to do, because someday we're going to be accountable for every idle word that we speak and every deed that we do. But he doesn't force us. He gives us free will. God always brings us to the border. And he lets us choose what we want. That's what he did with Israel when he delivered them out of the Egyptians' hands, out of slavery. He brought them through the wilderness, which was a horrible experience for them. And then it says he brought them to the border. They had to decide whether they wanted to go into the promised land that God gave them, which many felt was flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it was a great place. But they had to decide to go in and conquer. It wasn't going to be easy. They were going to have to fight 33 different tribes and kings in order to possess the promised land. Or they could just stay at the borderline in the wilderness looking at the promised land. And I would say to you today that there are many people that are borderline Christians because they're looking at the promises of God. They're looking at the promised land. They're looking at, I can have more of Jesus. I can have more of God's will and more of God's presence and purpose in my life. But I'd rather stand here and look at it because I don't know if I want to count the cost that I really want to step over the borderline. I'm pretty comfortable here on the borderline. You may remember that when they spied out the promised land, they sent 12 men in to spy. They went over the border and 10 of them came back trembling and said, we can't do this. We can't go into God's promised land. What? God promised it to you. God wants to give you something good. God wants to bless you with this land. But 10 of them came back and said, we can't. Only 2 of them said, oh, right, we can do this. The 10 came back and says, there are giants in the land. We can't do it. There's no way. 2 of them came back, Joshua and Caleb, and they said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's get there and let's get the promise of God. Let's step over the border. Let's not be borderline followers of God, where we just look at the promises and look at His presence and look at His holiness, but we get to experience it and encounter it. Praise God. Oh, He'll bring us to the border of His love. And we choose whether we want to really enter into that love and experience to its fullest degree. That means we're going to have to cross a borderline. It may cost us some things. But Jesus told us to count the cost in following Him. Remember, He said, narrow is the way, and few that find it, but broad is the path that leads to destruction. Only 2 out of 12 really felt that it was a possibility even to get the promises of God and go into the promised land. He'll bring us to the beauty of His holiness, but it's up to us to step over and to experience His beauty and His holiness. Some have not experienced that yet in their life. He'll bring us to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right to the border, but then we have to decide do we want to step in and take those gifts of the Holy Spirit and allow them to be operating in our life. He'll bring us to the wonderful border of salvation. And many people know what it means to be saved, and they understand the whole salvation plan, but I don't know if I want to step over the border and experience the fullness and the greatness of the salvation. Because in Hebrews, it's just not called salvation. It's called a great salvation. Praise God. Borderline Christianity. You know, it's our choice to step over the line. It takes courage. It takes faith. That's why the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. And why does it take courage and faith? Because there has to be a total abandonment of self-will. There has to be a total abandonment of self-desire. There has to be a total abandonment of control over our life and surrendering to the will of God and saying, God, You control my life. You're the Lord. You're the Master. You're just not my Savior. You're my Lord and my Master. Praise God. Step over the borderline. Today we're going to talk about three things. I'm going to just mention to them first, and then we're going to go back to point number one. The first point we're going to talk about today is borderline Christianity is alienation from my address. The second point we're going to talk about is borderline Christianity is being attracted to my afflictions. And number three is borderline Christianity is being absent from my adoption. So let's go back to number one. Borderline Christianity is alienation from my address. Well, what does that mean? In verse 52, it tells us that He brought the people out like a flock. And He led them like sheep through the desert. And He didn't want them to stay in the desert. He was bringing them to a land of milk and honey, a promise, a beautiful land. But borderline Christianity is alienation from my address because we decide that we want to stay in the desert, in the wilderness. Our address is really down in paradise, but we build our house in the desert looking over the borderline to where our real address is in paradise. Now down there is where all the good things are. Down there is where all the water is. In other words, we have to pay to have a water truck come up to our house when we can actually be living in our address in paradise. Many Christians are doing that. They're looking at God's provision from afar. Borderline Christianity is like building your house in the desert, overlooking the scenic paradise that you own. The food is all down in paradise, but we stay in the desert and we look at the food. We never feast upon the bread of life. We don't feast upon the Word of God. That's borderline Christianity. We don't fellowship with people. And we're stuck out in the desert, and that's where all the people are all down in paradise, where we're supposed to be. They're down there. There's where the restaurants are. There's where the entertainment is. That's where the parks are. There's where the theaters are. But we choose to live looking at them on the other side of the border. Oh, to move across the borderline and get into God's presence and enjoy all his benefits and all his blessings. You see, in scenic paradise, where your real address is, my address is, that's where the utilities are. There's no utilities out in the desert. It gets mighty hot out in the desert. Well, I'll stay out here in the desert because I don't know if I should really live over there, over the border, with the promises of God and the goodness of God. I'll sit here and I'll look at it and sweat to death. And I don't know if you know those desert nights are really cold and you have no utilities to turn on the heat. Well, I'll sit here and shiver and I'll look at the goodness of God and I'll stay on the side, but I don't want to count the cost and step over the line and serve God with all I have. Love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Down in paradise is where all the beauty is, the flower gardens, the shrubs, the trees. You know what? Nothing grows in the desert. Well, it does, but nothing worthwhile. Cactus, which is prickly. And you know what? We become like our environment. We become like what goes on in a desert place. Dry, dead, prickly, and barren. Do you know any Christians like that? Borderline Christianity. Is that you today? You know all about the things of God, but you're afraid to cross the border, and so your spirituality is dry, it's dead, it's a form of godliness denying the power thereof. You've got religion, but you don't have a relationship with the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. You're a little bit prickly around people. Do you know any prickly people? Yeah. Don't get too close to them. Once those prickers get in you, they stick, they hurt. Maybe you feel barren today spiritually. God is saying something to us today. He's saying, step over the borderline. Don't be a borderline follower any longer. Borderline Christianity is not really all that much to be proud of. God's got a message today. Not only for our church, but the church in general. He's telling us to step out, step over the borderline, get away from the barren boredom, boring religion, and get into his blazing beauty and have a deep, gratifying relationship with him. Number two, borderline Christianity is being attracted to my afflictions. What? Yes, a lot of people are stuck in the past, always looking at the past problem that they've gone through, looking back at all their past misfortune, and can't move forward, so they can't get into the promises of God and the blessings of God and the fruitfulness that they're supposed to have in their life. They're attracted to the past difficulties more than they are attracted to the future fortune that lies ahead in following and giving our lives totally over to Jesus. Many are stuck in the present, not able to take a step forward and go over the borderline into his promises. Why? Because they can't forget the past episode that took place in their life. And therefore, stuck at the borderline. One of my definitions for borderline Christianity would be this. Borderline Christianity is going through hurtful trials and then always looking backwards and living close to the past problem. In other words, you can't forget the last disaster in your life. And it's stopping you from moving forward and getting closer to the Lord. Getting into the best that he has. Not just looking at it and observing it. God's got a message for you and I today, and it's this: turn around and face him and walk away from your past. I said this to my children a lot of times. They started to storm up the stairs after I disciplined them. And maybe your parents said it to you, they said it to me. Face me when I'm talking to you. That's what God is saying to us today, but he's not quite as mean as I was as a parent, or maybe your parents were. He says it gently with his Holy Spirit. He says, face me when I'm talking to you. Come on over. Come on over here with me. Come over here with me. Come on,
closer, closer. Step over the borderline. Come on. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to get hurt. Come on. Oh, yeah, you'll have some trials. You're still going to have problems. Matter of fact, you may be persecuted for your faith. But the promises are over here. The fulfillment's over here. The closeness is over here. The joy is over here. The peace is over here. Stop standing over here just looking at it. Come over here and take a hold of it. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, borderline Christianity. If we had all those borderline Christianities, people lined up, we probably could go around the globe a couple times, right? And we sometimes fall back into that category. Many times I find myself as a borderline Christian, questioning God. God, why is this happening to me? And I step back out into the desert. And I look at the blessings that are taking place down in paradise. And I see other people are getting blessed, but I'm not. And God, what's going on here? And he's saying, you're borderline, get back over here with me. Get back over here. Oh God, how we need to move on with him. The third thing we're going to look at today is borderline Christianity is being absent from my adoption. He said that we have been adopted through Jesus Christ. We have an adoption. He is our new father. He's our father. In verse 54 that we read earlier, he said he brought them out by his right hand. In other words, he's saying, come on and live with me. No more poverty of the spirit. No more poverty of emotions. No more poverty in your soul. No more loneliness. If you come with me, come over here. No more lack of love. No more living on the street. Borderline Christianity is like staring at God and his holiness without ever embracing it. Why would we do that? Why? God said, come across that borderline. Come across that borderline. Verse 54, which I had you underline if you did in your Bible, says he brought them to the border of his holy land. He will not force us to go any further with him. You can stay right where you are. You can be a baby in Christ and suck on a bottle. Matter of fact, I was thinking about getting some baby food when I was down in St. Joe. And I don't know why. I picked Boyd. I thought he'd be a great illustration. And I was going to get a, maybe make a homemade high chair, put him in it, put a bib on him, and feed him some carrots with baby food. And say, this is what borderline Christianity is. Some people are satisfied with that. God feed me, 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 God feed me. I'm not getting fat. I need to go to another church. God's saying, feed yourself, hello? Come out of the desert where there's a garden with me and you can feast all day long. You don't have to get it from somebody else. You don't have to get it from a church. You don't have to get it from your pastor. You can get me and all the benefits and the blessings and all the food and bread of manna that comes from heaven if you just come over with me. Oh, we don't want to start the process, though. Oh, my gosh. He might call me into purity and holiness. And he might start to perfect me. And that might take a process that might hurt. But it's in him we have our completeness and our fullness. We cannot have completeness and fullness until we step over the border and we're with him. We might think that we have it, but we haven't encountered it until we've encountered him. Dallas, I don't know why I picked you today. Just you look really intent there. By the way, you look really nice today. So is your wife. Dallas, we're going to pray, and we're going to pretend for just a little while, and I'm going to be your papa. Man, I'm really old. You're old. I should pick someone younger. I'm looking around. This whole section got a bunch of old people. Okay. I thought it was all young people, but it's... Okay, anyways, Dallas, I've adopted you. You're my son. And back here, I have gold bricks. I have gold bricks in here. $10 million worth. Doesn't take many bricks to make $10 million. All you need to do, go get yourself a wheelbarrow, because I want you to get out of here quick. Okay? Get those $10 million worth of bricks in your wheelbarrow, take their years. Do whatever you want with them, cash it in. But you say, no, Gene, you're not my real father. I reject your adoption. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your gifts. And that's exactly what we're doing with God. He's got some gold for us. And we're settling for pebbles, rocks, shale, kitty litter. Where'd that come from? Maybe it's my turn to change the cat litter. It has been for a long time, hasn't it? Probably not going to happen this week. This adoption means that sometimes means nothing to me. I'd rather be homeless and live in constant danger for my life and be plagued with poverty and stay in the desert and just look at the goodness of God and the greatness of God and His blessings. That's stupid, isn't it? But we do it. Why do we do it? Because we get enamored with this world and we think this world is going to fulfill all of our deep needs and satisfaction. I like to have fun. Matter of fact, we called someone in the church the other day and we said, we just need to have some fun. Can we get together and play games? And we laughed and everything. And I was happy as long as we were winning, but we started losing. I said, let's go home. But this world will never satisfy to its fullest. That's why God's calling us to the border, and He's not going to force us to step over and get into His presence and be over there with Him. He's calling us as a church to move further than we've ever moved before, to stop standing on the borderline and cross over into Him. And yeah, it's going to cost something. It's going to cost something. It's going to cost you self-will, self-desires at times. It's going to cost some sacrifice. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't get struck by lightning while I'm preaching. In Deuteronomy 12:20, it says, God shall enlarge your border. He cannot enlarge your border or my border until we step into His promises and go over the borderline. He enlarges the further we walk in Him, not as long as we stay on the other side of the border. We need to step over and step it up. Amen. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a lot of things that are not being added to our life because we're not seeking Jesus first. I know that I'm not sometimes. I preach to myself. I just remember when I were preaching, I go home and beat myself up afterwards. So, man, that was me. That's me. I need some changing in my life. I need some transformation in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to do something in me. The scripture tells us in Psalms 37, verse 4, trust in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. But in order to do that, you've got to walk away from the border and walk in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Isaiah 14 and verse 3 says, the Lord shall give you rest from fear. That rest is only when we go over the borderline. And then the New Testament scripture tells us God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we have a lot of wants, but there's some needs that need to be met in our life. And the only way we're going to get them is step over the border. Amen. Amen. I got to do some stepping over the border this weekend. I don't know about you. On the border, you will always remain small. You will remain among the midgets. And I know that's not politically correct to say midgets, but it rhymes with mighty. You will remain among the midgets when you can walk among the mighty. Borderline Christianity is knowing and seeing God, but not possessing Him. This is the word of God for the people of God. And I would urge you in the next song, whatever it is, that you come to the altar as your sign that you're stepping over the border and that you want more of Him and less of you. That's what John the Baptist said. Lord, I don't want myself anymore. I give in the way all the time. I want more of you. So let's free ourselves. This hand that comes to lead us. Let's stand together. Remember the